subjects of my love. We have here the Apostle John speaking, "Beloved ones, follow not the evil." That has been our subject for a number of weeks. We're still dealing with the subject of evil. If you'll notice, the second word in this verse is the little Greek adverb, a negative adverb. It is the word may, M-E. I've emphasized many times that there are four major Greek adverbs, negative adverbs. One of those is ou, the next one is ouk, and the next one is ouk. And the fourth one is the one that's here, may. The three negative adverbs that I gave you first are strong negative adverbs. And when you find them in the Greek and when you find them translated, you will find the word not. But here is an interesting word, and I don't think I've even given this to you, even though I've many times emphasized that the word may is the word that usually goes along with a verb in the subjunctive mood. Here it goes with a verb in the imperative mood, which is a command. The point that I have not told you, I think, in the past is that normally when you have may used with an imperative verb, there's an emphasis upon something that's already going on in people's lives, and they need to stop doing what they're already doing. So I could read this then, stop doing what you have already been doing, and that's following evil. The word follow there is the Greek word which means mime. And in a person who is following along with someone else, looking at someone else and following them, a mime. We have an emphasis then upon the word evil. Perhaps I need to put this on the screen for you tonight. Some of you are going to say, I believe we've seen this before. And when you see it, you will know that you have seen it before. There's a difference between sin and evil. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that this has been placed on the screen many, many times. Some of you may be seeing it for the first time. So I'll go slowly enough. If you're copying, taking notes, you want to do this. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and principles and integrity of God. There's a difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. This is presented to us in John chapter 8, verses 42 to 47. We've said many times that evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. This is not new. This is not something you haven't heard before. It is something I believe it needs to be repeated. Evil is the purpose and policy and modus operandi of Satan. In John 8, 42 to 47. Most of us are aware of the fact that there's an emphasis in the Bible on human good. Human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, please be aware of the fact that we've given you an emphasis on sin. We've given you an emphasis on evil. And now on the screen, you see the transparency, human good. Human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. You remember at the beginning of our service this evening, we mentioned the fact that it is important that we be in fellowship with our Lord. 1 John 1:9 says that if we admit our faults and failures, if we confess our faults and failures, if we name our faults and failures, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm here to pronounce tonight the fact that you and I can know without doubt that our sins are forgiven. What a wonderful thrill to know that whatever the sins are, you name the sins that you know. And the Lord says in 1 John 1:9 that, well, He not only forgive us of those that we've named, but He will forgive us of those that we don't even remember. Because He says He will forgive us of all unrighteousness. Human good is a benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. We can do something while filled with the Holy Spirit, or we can do the very same thing while not filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we do it not filled with the Holy Spirit, it equals human good. Because human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Evil is presented to us in various ways in the Scripture. There's the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S, which means useless, bad, opposed to the goodness or character of God. That word kakos is used a number of times. It's used in 2 Corinthians 13:7, Colossians 3:5, Hebrews 5:14. It is used in 1 John 5:19. The word kakos could be translated troublesome, pernicious, destructive, wrong, base, wicked. Those are words that could be used, synonyms, to describe the word evil when it's kakos. The second word that I present to you is the word paneros, which is a word which means opposed to divine viewpoint. It's used in Matthew 6:13, John 3:19, Mark 7:23. There are many verses. Paneros is the word which means wicked again. It means troublesome, peril, toil. And then there's a third word, evil, that's phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Phalos is an interesting word because it is an adjective which means opposed to divine good. Phalos is the word that could be translated excrement or dung. Now, some of those words may ring a bell with you, but I want you to take a look now at our verse of Scripture. And let's see what word is used here. Beloved, follow not the evil. Look under the word evil and you will see the Greek word. K-A-K-O-N. The reason why it has an O-N at the end is the suffix is different than the nominative case. But it would be K-A-K-O-S. Kakos is the word which means opposed to the goodness and the character of God. Now, evil is a system of thinking. The only way that you and I can get rid of thinking that is not good, that's evil, is to get a different type of thinking. You've heard me say this, and I will repeat it for weeks. The only way that we can get rid of evil is not to pray about it. It is not a matter of praying about evil. It's a matter of getting a different type of thinking. In other words, you have to have the bulldozer of God's grace to come in and scrape away satanic thinking a little bit at a time. And then a new type of thinking coming in. And the new type of thinking is God's message, God's Word. And the Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. John is telling us something here. Beloved ones, objects of my love, stop doing some of the things you're already doing, and that is you're following evil. You're not going to be benefited if you continue to go that way. So let me go back again and let you see. Where it says follow, it's the word mime. And it is a present middle imperative verb. What does that mean? Present tense means continuous action. Something that you and I may be doing every day on a continuous basis. And that is following satanic thinking. He says, stop doing that. The middle voice says, if you don't stop, you're not going to be benefited. If you stop it, you will be benefited. So it emphasizes on the middle voice. And many, many times I've emphasized the middle voice. And then the imperative verb is a verb of command. Beloved ones, stop following the things that are evil. Kaikos. Not Panaros here. Not Phalos here. But Kaikos here. Which means those things opposed to the goodness and the character of God. Now, let me go on right quick-like and tell you that we have now a word which means conjunction of contrast. It's the Greek word alla, A-L-L-A. But the good. Oh, I could come and sit by your side right now and ask you a question. And the question would be, what is this word? And you would say, it's the word agathos. Oh, I'm so proud of you, I don't know what to do. You would say, that's the word agathos. And in fact, it's a secret word around here. I'm not going to say anything else. But it is a word that means good. Now, some people may pay attention to that and some may not. But you who are in this auditorium are paying attention. And agathos means good, God's good, intrinsic good. And so it says, don't be following. You'll not be benefited if you go this way. Don't go the way of satanic thinking. Then go the way of good, God's good, intrinsic good. Now, I'm going to do this some more next Sunday. But you don't have to tell the folks next Sunday you already heard this. I love compound words. For instance, if you find the word poleo, which means to do, and you find the word agathos, which means what I've just said, intrinsic good, and you combine those, you put those two together. It's easy to understand. So here we have agathos and the word poleo. Now, I know it's a different suffix and all this, but you can look at the word yourself and see that this word up here is blended into this word here. And if you'll look at the word do somewhere here, which is the end of this word, P-O-I-E-O, you'll see that that's the part of the word right here. So it means the one doing good, practicing intrinsic good, practicing God's good, is out from the source of God. We're going to talk about this in detail later. But look at the other thing. The opposite of that. Turn the coin over. The one doing evil. Now here's a compound word again. You remember that the word is kaikos? We have it right here. K-A-K-O. Stop. Take the suffix, the latter word, the last letter off. And take the word which means do. And it means to do evil. Now, we're going to get into this in detail, and I've mentioned it in the past, but I want you to see that this is saying that the one that is practicing doing evil has not seen God. And you know what? Oftentimes people will read a verse in the King James or some other translation, and they'll draw the wrong conclusion about that verse. And they will have, sometimes people even build their theological viewpoints based on words that they read without seeing what it really means. Now, what this really means is that the person is not saved. No, that's not what it says. Did you see? I shocked you, didn't I? It doesn't say that because up here it says, beloved ones, objects of my love, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come down here and it says, the one doing evil has not seen God. You see how foolish a person could be in drawing the conclusion that that is opposite to what is being said up here? I'll tell you what it means right quick-like. The Greek word, beautiful, is H-O-R-A-O, horao, from which we get our English word horizon, a beautiful word. And this means that God wants every believer to have a long look. You and I will not have the look that God wants us to have unless we are perceptive, which means that we attain, retain, and maintain God's truth. You just thought I'd never get to that, didn't you? Let's look at those words again. Attain, maintain, the last one, in between, retain. Attain, retain, maintain. Three magnificent words. How is it that a person can attain? A person to be able to attain has to have a desire for spiritual fuel. And they have to be what I call, and what has been called by many theologians, perception. Perceptive to God's Word. Let me give you a definition. I looked it up. The American College Dictionary says perception is the action or faculty of perceiving. Now, isn't that wonderful? That's the American College Dictionary of the word perception. The action or faculty of perceiving. It goes on to say cognition. It says taking cognizance. It says an immediate or intuitive recognition. That's a definition from the American College Dictionary. Preacher, would you be able to give us a little better definition that I can understand? Yes, here it is. To be perceptive is to have the power of perceiving. Perceive means to gain knowledge. To discover by seeing, hearing, and so forth. Perception, perceive, means to understand with the mind. The mind is the mentality of the soul. The spiritual mentality of the soul. And Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Now, I know that's a long verse, Ephesians 1:18. I'm not dealing with all of it. I just want you to see the first part of it. The eyes of your understanding. The Greek word there is ophthalmos, from which we get our word ophthalmology. The eyes of your understanding. The word understanding can be translated enlightenment or knowledge. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. 10 points. One, God has given to every born-again believer a beautiful system of comprehending the truth. God has given to every believer a beautiful system of comprehending the truth. It is because of His grace that we have it. We've called it here the grace system of comprehending. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is that those who are involved in satanic thinking cannot comprehend grace. They do not comprehend, nor do they understand God's grace. So point one again. God has given to every believer a beautiful system of comprehending the truth. We call it the grace system of comprehending. Number two, God has given to every individual a mind. Now, I don't want you to tell me about your mind, whether you think it's good or bad. I'm not interested particularly tonight in your IQ. I'm just interested in letting you understand that the Bible says that He's given to us a mind, and it's described by a little Greek word, N-O-U-S, nous. So you can write that one down. I'm going to give you some words in a moment that I call the 9 important words. But please just listen carefully now. Number three, in salvation, God gave to each one of us His indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, you know that there are many facets in the Bible related to the biblical subjects related to the Holy Spirit. There's regeneration of the Holy Spirit. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's the filling of the Holy Spirit. There are spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. If you study the doctrines related to the Holy Spirit, you'll find about five or six major concepts. Number three, in salvation, He gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit. Number four, the Apostle Paul tells us that as saved people, He's given to us what I'm calling a receptacle. We could call this a storage place. But lest you get too confused there, just put down the human spirit. At salvation, 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 11, 12, and 13 tells us that God has given us a receptacle, a storage, the human spirit, along with all the ingredients necessary to advance spiritually. This is also presented to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Most of you remember that when God transformed your life and mine, He gave us the human spirit, which made it possible for us then to comprehend spiritual phenomena. Number five, when we comprehend the Word of God in our minds, it is known as the cardia, the mentality of the soul. We comprehend the Word of God while we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we hear the Word of God, accept the Word of God, it is known as knowledge, which is G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. Number six, when we receive the Word of God while filled with the Holy Spirit, we mix that with our trust and confidence, which we call faith, in this spiritual receptacle called the human spirit. When this happens, it becomes truth that's usable. It can be applied. And it's then described as epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. 1 Corinthians 2:12. It is described as over and beyond simple knowledge. And simple knowledge is not simple knowledge, but it is knowledge that is not epignosis. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." That's Ephesians 3:19. Number seven, for the Word of God to be anything more than intellectual comprehension, it must be believed and applied on a moment-by-moment basis. Now, I realize that I'm giving you points, and tonight you're coming to the conclusion that you're not able to write all this. That's okay. I know what usually happens is that when the service is over, people run up here to get my notes. And Kristen goes back to the copying machine and copies the notes and gives them to you. And you're able to see all my foolish little writings here and there. I don't mind that. So you can relax if you're tired now, taking notes. Wait and get it later. But listen carefully. Number eight. Spiritual IQ is the amount of spiritual food that you have stored in your soul. Spiritual IQ. We're not talking about IQ. We're talking about your spiritual IQ. Spiritual IQ is the amount of spiritual food stored in your soul. Number nine. At the point of spiritual birth, every believer is made one with Christ, the Bible says. At the point of spiritual birth, every believer is made one with Christ. Even though no two people are born equal in any generation, God gives to each person who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior a system of learning the Bible. You're not neglected. God didn't shortchange you. Don't ever say, well, I don't have a big IQ, and so I can't learn the Bible. No, no. That's not the case. Spiritual IQ is the amount of spiritual food stored in your soul. At the point of spiritual birth, number 9, every believer is made one with Christ. Number 10, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I would encourage you to read all 16 verses, 1 through 16. It gives us the distinction between human IQ and spiritual IQ. Some of you are saying, I didn't know whether you were going to ever get to this or not, but I'm doing it now. If you've been taking careful notes, if you've been looking at the overhead projector in the scriptures, you're going to see now some beautiful words. I'm going to talk about these words from now to the end of our session, which is not too many minutes, of course. The first word that you need to write somewhere is the Greek word kardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. I did not put this up here in Greek, I just put it in English letters. And we're going to talk about it. The kardia means the mentality of your soul. The mentality of your soul. God has given to you and me the ability to comprehend spiritual things. And the kardia is the word that describes it. If I should say to you, would you tell me where your heart is? You'd just probably go like this somewhere. But if I ask you, where is your spiritual heart? Well, that's not where it is. It's the mentality of your soul. The second word you see on the screen is the word nous, N-O-U-S. You may not have known you had a nous, but you do. It's the word mind, M-I-N-D, mind. It's a noun. It means that God has given you the ability to comprehend. The next word is the same word, nous, as a noun, but now we have it as a verb. Noeo, N-O-E-O, which is the word which means the action. Actively doing something, which means thinking. So if nous is the mind, noeo is the ability to utilize that mind in thinking. The thinking part of mankind. The fourth word is the word gnosis. We've already emphasized that word tonight. Gnosis, when God's word, spiritual food, goes into the nous, it's called gnosis, knowledge. When the mind is active, thinking, it's called noeo, which you see on the screen. And there are two kinds of noeo. One of those is phroneo and the other is dokeo. We'll talk about that in a moment. All I want you to see is right now, we're looking up here at the word thinking. Gnosis, when God's spiritual food goes into the nous, it's called gnosis, knowledge. When the mind is active, thinking, it's called noeo, a verb. There are two kinds of noeo. One is phroneo. Phroneo is objective thinking, which means to form or hold an opinion or to set one's mind on. Phroneo is objective thinking. This may not mean all this much to you until you think about it over a period of weeks and months. All of us can either be objective or subjective. And oftentimes in life, we are more subjective than objective, which is not good. The Word of God helps us to be objective, to see things from a vertical viewpoint, not from a horizontal human viewpoint. The more we study God's Word over a period of weeks and months and years, the more advantages it will be to us, because we will then be able to look at the experiences of life from a different viewpoint. The burdens, the trials, the tests, the heartaches, death, whatever it may be, we are able to look at it from a different viewpoint. We see it from a divine viewpoint rather than from a human, horizontal viewpoint. The reason why it's important for me to communicate God's Word week after week, day after day, right on down the line, is for us to be able to see from a vertical viewpoint. Phroneo is objective thinking, which means to form or hold an opinion, to set one's mind on. If you set your mind on that which you've learned from God's Word, you will draw the right conclusions. If you're subjective and emotional, you're going to punch panic buttons and go and fall apart when difficulties and burdens and troubles come your way. I've already tried to explain the next word, haven't I? Dokeo. D-O-K-E-O. Which is subjective thinking. Which means to suppose. To consider. Isn't it amazing? I just suppose so-and-so is going to happen. I just imagine so-and-so is so going to happen. We're living with people all the time who see things always from a negative, sour viewpoint. Do you enjoy being around people who are negative all the time? If it's hot, it's too hot. If it's cold, it's too cold. If it's raining, it should be not raining. If it's not raining, it should be raining. You see what I'm saying? Looking at things always from a negative viewpoint. The more of God's Word that we have our minds saturated with, our spiritual souls captivated with, the more we're going to be able to have a life of joy and peace and happiness and contentment, no matter what's taking place. Because our happiness is not in the events of life. Our happiness is not in the material things of life. Our happiness is in the Lord, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dokeo, subjective thinking. When a person learns and stays away from subjective thinking, that person is heading down the right road. Let's go to the next word quickly. Epinosis. Epi means over and above. Gnosis means knowledge. Put the two together, we have a compound word there. It means full knowledge. It means workable knowledge. It means usable knowledge. It means having the ability to hear, to heed, and utilize. Are you hearing it? I hear God's Word. I accept God's Word. I faith God's Word. I mix it with my trust and confidence. I believe it, and now I'm going to practice what He's taught me. Epinosis. Oh, my. I just wish we had a lot more time, but let's go into the next two words. Sophia. Sophia is a word which means, well, I'll just stop. We had a dog, miniature schnauzer, some years ago. We named her Sophie. She's smart. I'm not sure that she had wisdom, but anyway, that's what the word means, wisdom. It means workable knowledge. It means spiritual food stored in the cardia, in the mentality of the soul. How fantastic. And then the last word on the screen, synesis. Synesis. Just say that word. Synesis. Comprehension. discernment, insight, acuteness, sharp, quick sensibility, penetrating intellect, keen, astute, shrewd. I'm just trying to find some words that'll help you see how powerful this is. The ability to comprehend. The scripture says in Jeremiah 13:15, hear and give ear. When I thought about this, I said to myself, a classroom is necessary. That's what we have here tonight. A communicator is necessary. We have that here tonight. A right attitude toward the communication. I trust that that is right tonight. A believer must realize that gnosis, knowledge, information, can exist in the mind to a large extent without spiritual benefit. Now, did you hear what I just said? It is possible for information, gnosis, knowledge, to exist in the mind to a large extent without spiritual benefit. Spiritual fuel must be moved to the utilization area of the soul. This is why many people study the Bible only to argue or to debate. And they have a lot of understanding of biblical truths, information, but no spiritual advanced status. They may be eschatological nuts. They may be Holy Spirit nuts. They may be victory nuts, but not really comprehending the truth. Did you hear what I just said? There are people who are eschatological nuts. There's nothing wrong with eschatology, but don't become an eschatological nut. There's not anything wrong with learning how God wants us to be victorious in life, but that's not all there is. There are many things to learn. I enjoy studying the Holy Spirit, but it is not for me to spend all the time teaching the subject of the Holy Spirit. The believer must understand that epinosis is the most important aspect of advance. Epinosis means that the believer hears, accepts, believes, and applies. Spiritual fuel must be converted from gnosis to epinosis. Number six. Well, these are my conclusions. I don't even think I gave you any numbers, did I? Okay. The cardia is the most important aspect. If you and I will get wisdom, we will have the faculty of comprehension. We'll be able to see as God sees. We have a lot to learn, don't we? And I've written myself a little note. When wisdom is used, it is called in the Greek sunesis, which means discernment, insight, quick sensibility, penetrating in intellect. Well, please, please understand that these are nine important words. Beloved ones, follow not the evil. In essence, stop doing some things you're already doing, but the good. The one doing good is out from the source of God. The one doing evil doesn't have an understanding of God, doesn't have the long look, cannot fully comprehend what God's plan is, and they'll live a frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused life, which is not God's plan at all. 7:59. Let you out a minute early. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the challenge of your wonderful word. And we pray that you will help us to realize that there's no way for us to be triumphant and victorious in life if we're going in the wrong direction, if our minds are captivated with satanic thinking, because satanic thinking, evil, cannot appreciate or comprehend how great God's grace is. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they realize that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We thank you for that wonderful Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.